From Hinckley. Whether you're lighting your entire dream home or just need a new chandelier, Hinckley offers distinctive selections for every style. For over 40 years, Metro Lighting has made a commitment of service to their customers and is proud to be a locally owned and operated part of the St. Louis community. Visit MetroLightingCenters.com for the location nearest you. Get to Kohl's now through Monday because friends and family like you get an extra 20% off. That's on top of already low sale prices store-wide. Plus, everyone gets Kohl's cash. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Hey, did Vanilla Ice survive the hurricane?
Ooh, good question. I think he was like partying at some bar or something. I saw an article that
because he ripped off this song for
yes.
Ice Ice Baby. I couldn't sleep last night, worried about whether he was going to make it through the hurricane.
Man.
Hey, welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion of the show brought to you by Window World, the number one replacement window company in the United States. The original $189 window company. And by the way, you know what the windows cost now? $189.
What?
Yeah. Go to windowworldstlouis.com and you'll see for yourself. Before we get to the showbiz stuff for this week, I want to plug Dan and his band doing a semi-benefit for the Backstoppers tonight, particularly because of the death of police officer Blake Snyder in Afton yesterday morning, killed by this 18-year-old idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you appearing and what's the deal?
We're at the Clubhouse Bar and Grill. And it's on Gravoy in Afton, down the street. It's the old 10-mile house.
And the reason we're mentioning it is because they're going to have a bucket on the stage.
Yes.
And if you want to throw in a 5, a 10, a 20, a 100, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Or write a check out to Backstoppers. You can drop it in there.
Yes.
Dan will make sure it gets to Chief Ron Battelle at the Backstoppers. And they help out the fallen cops, firefighters, and EMTs, both in Missouri and Illinois, the whole St. Louis region.
Yeah.
And, the bi-state region.
Yes, yeah, the bi-state region.
We should start calling
yes.
it that.
Yeah, it is, the bi-state region. Ron Battelle knows that we're going to do this, and I'm going to meet up with him next week and get him the money and everything. But and I put out a challenge to other bands. Johnny Holzem from the Well Hungarians, they're playing at the Belleville Area Chili Cook-Off from 6 to 10 tonight, and they're playing right in front of the St. Clair County Courthouse. Johnny said he will have a bucket over at his merchandise table.
Great.
So you can donate to Backstoppers there with them.
Okay.
And go out and try some chili. It's chili weather right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll be out there. We play at 9 o'clock tonight.
Did it drop 20 to degrees from yesterday to today?
I think it has.
Yep.
I had to go find the long sleeve shirts today.
I was just outside. It got a little chilly.
It definitely did. Well, Colin told you a cold front was moving through. You didn't believe him?
No, I didn't.
You should.
I know. I'm going to from now on.
Time now for the showbiz segment of the show. Colin Jeffrey joins us to talk about movies and TVs. Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
You're psyched up for Sunday, aren't you?
I'm getting there. Yeah.
Of the four people on this show, there is one person, exactly one person, psyched up for the fact that our town is hosting a presidential debate.
Oh.
On Sunday night.
I forgot yes. about
and
that.
And you're going to be there.
I'm going to be there all day.
Yeah, you couldn't get me there with a gun.
Really? You're going to be there all day?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get there at like 10 in the morning and
he's going to be doing
go
update.
From there.
He's going to be doing updates starting at noon.
Yeah. And live then, coverage starting at 7.
Now, will you be in the actual room or will you be...
No, they have all the press in a separate room.
Yeah.
You know where the cafeteria is at WashU?
Yeah.
That's where Colin will be. That's nowhere near the actual...
He'll be back by the walk-in cooler.
You laugh now, but when they run out of potato salad, he's your man.
Yeah.
So we'll have live coverage Sunday night from 7 to midnight, including the whole debate.
Yes.
Pre-post game. Are you doing a halftime show?
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, with Greg Gumbel.
Halftime, the cabinet secretaries come out and do a dance, a little song.
That'd be fun.
Let's get Tony Dungy to diagram that for us.
Karl Rove on the telestrator.
Oh, please. All right, let's leave that aside because that'll be your job on Sunday. Today,
yes.
Your job is to do showbiz stuff.
The fun stuff.
And before we get to a movie that we both went to a screening of this week, if you don't mind, I'd like to start with a movie that I saw that you didn't see because I think it's one of the best movies of the year. Spoiler alert.
Whoa.
The movie is called Denial. Now, I will tell you, I have no patience for deniers. This movie is about people who claim the Holocaust never happened. I won't even talk to those people. The climate change isn't real, that the government toppled the Twin Towers on 9/11, or last 24 hours we've seen people saying that the hurricane forecast for Florida were all a government hoax.
Yeah.
I won't even talk to people like that. I have no interest in engaging in any kind of conversation with them, let alone a debate, because I know I can never change their twisted minds, that logic plays no part in their conclusions, and they have more regard for opinions and made-up facts than actual evidence. Professor Deborah Lipstadt felt the same way. In 1993, she wrote a book called Denying the Holocaust, in which she said that another author named David Irving had distorted the facts and the evidence to legitimize his Holocaust denial. He tried to confront her and challenge her to a debate. She declined. She said, I'm not even going to talk to you.
Yes.
In 1996, David Irving sued Deborah Lipstadt and her publisher in a British court, sued for libel. Now, the fact that they did it in a British court is important here, because that's where the problems began for Lipstadt, because in England, and I didn't know this, the libel burden is on the defendant, not on the plaintiff. So he didn't have to prove that she libeled him. She had to prove that she hadn't libeled him, or that what he had done was tell lies and distortions of the fact, and that she was just telling the truth about what he said. So there's no presumption of innocence on her part, and that is the basis of this movie, Denial. It stars Rachel Weisz as Lipstadt, complete with an out-and-out New York accent, which she does very well, even though she is British. She plays Lipstadt as a brilliant woman who's faced with this impossible task, who is horrified at having to litigate the truths of the Holocaust in a courtroom. Her publisher, Penguin UK, put together an impressive team of lawyers, or in England, actually, I didn't know this, that there are two different kinds of lawyers. There are solicitors and barristers. Did you know this?
No.
No.
The solicitors prepare the case. The barristers argue the case. When they go into the royal courtroom, the barristers are the ones who still have to wear those ridiculous wigs from Victorian times. It's the 21st century!
That would have given the O.J. Simpson trial a different feel if they all had to wear those wigs, wouldn't
it? Yeah, you know who it also could have helped? Joe Buck. He wouldn't have lost his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rachel Weisz is terrific as Deborah Lipstadt, but the movie steps up even a few more notches every time Tom Wilkinson is on the screen. Tom Wilkinson is also out this fall in the movie Snowden. He played LBJ in the movie Selma a couple years ago. He was in Grand Budapest Hotel and the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel and Michael Clayton and the Full Monty. You would recognize this guy as soon as you saw him. And every time he's on screen, the movie gets great. And he's never been better. He plays Richard Rampton, who's the barrister who has to put on that wig and has to take on Irving in court. Irving represents himself. And so Rampton gets to examine him on the stand, and those scenes are terrific. And Anthony Scott is also good as the solicitor, Anthony Julius, who leads the team in devising the legal strategy. And Timothy Spall is also very good as the overconfident, slimy demagogue denier that David Irving was. So the courtroom scenes make up the fireworks in this movie, but there's also some very good moments regarding the strategy that goes into the case, including Rachel Weisz's character, Deborah Lipstadt, who's horrified when the solicitor tells her, we're not going to have any Holocaust survivors testifying. And she says, how can you talk about the Holocaust? How can you have a trial about the Holocaust if you don't have the people who were there telling what they witnessed? I'm not going to spoil it for you, but this is a very important part of the movie, and it's very well done on screen. There's also some subtle commentary on the media's desire for headlines and sound bites instead of focusing on the truth of what's going on there. The movie belongs to these characters that are so vividly portrayed by Rachel Weisz, Tom Wilkinson, and Timothy Spall. I think at least two of them are going to get nominated for their performances in this, and I would think that Wilkinson has to be one of the main choices for a supporting actor nomination.
Well, it'd be nice to see Timothy Spall get some recognition, because he's another guy you would not recognize.
I didn't even know who he was.
Oh, he is... He always plays that bad guy that's kind of jowly, and he gets red and kind of shakes his face.
Yeah.
And you're going to, as soon as you see him, you will recognize him. He's one of these faces.
My wife said he's one of the guys who's always in the Harry Potter movies.
Yes. Yeah, he was. That's right. But he's a really good character actor where this might finally be his breakout. And I did read interviews leading up to this about him. This is a tough role to play. This isn't like a fictitious bad guy.
No, Dan always asks, is this based on a true story? This is.
It's better than that. Every word of dialogue that appears in the courtroom is taken word for word from the transcripts.
Yes.
This says, because it's about denying something, so that's a smart decision by them, I think.
Yeah. Deborah Lipstadt wrote a book several years ago that the movie's based on called History on Trial, My Day in Court with a Holocaust Denier. And this is one of the best movies of the year. It's definitely going to be on my best of the year list. I'm giving it a 9 out of 10.
Ooh.
It's called Denial. It's playing at Plaza Frontenac. It's not going to play all over the place. But, like I said, one of the best of the year. Go see it if you can. It's called Denial. Now, let's move on to a movie both you and I saw this week, which is also based on a book. A book that only sold about 15 million copies. And I'm not exaggerating there. It's not hyperbole. Oh, what did it sell? 15 million copies? Yes.
Yeah.
This one sold 15 million copies. It's called The Girl on the Train. You read the book.
Yes.
I didn't read the book, so I'll be interested in our different perspectives on this.
Yeah, so it's based off the novel by Paula Hawkins. And if you hear The Girl on the Train and you know anything about it, you'll be like, oh, isn't this Gone Girl? Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about why it's not, but it's that same sort of story. This is a kind of thriller, whodunit, pulpy, have fun at the movies type movie. You can take your wife to, not your kids, do not take your kids to this. There are sex scenes that would be uncomfortable to sit next to your 17-year-old child watching.
And violence.
Yes, and violence, but yes. It follows the story of our main character, played by Emily Blunt. Her name is Rachel. And she is a recently divorced woman who has spiraled out of control, drinking all the time, alcoholic. And each day she wakes up and rides the train to her job in New York City from somewhere outside of New York City, presumably on Long Island. And at the end of the day, takes a train back home. And at one particular spot on her route, there are two important houses. One of them, she sees a young woman with her young husband. Her name is Megan, and this couple appears very much in love. And she becomes obsessed with Megan and her husband just by watching them for these 30 seconds or 15 seconds, this people watching. She imagines their lives. And part of the reason she imagines their lives isn't just that it's this beautiful woman, but it's a couple that lives two houses down from the house that she shared with her ex-husband. Her ex-husband has since gotten remarried to Anna, and they have a child together, a young girl together. And so while she fantasizes about the life Megan leads, she looks at the life that she could have had with Anna and her husband Tom just two houses down. And that's the setup. That is, so we're going to follow Rachel, a mess of a woman, and just see where this goes.
And by the way, we see all this through Rachel's booze-riddled disorientation.
At first.
To give you an idea of how much of an alcoholic she is, every morning before she gets on that train, she takes out a water bottle, like the kind of water bottle that people carry.
Like a Nalgene water bottle.
A Nalgene water bottle. So unscrews the top and pours a bottle of vodka in there.
So not vodka tonic.
No. So
vodka.
So it's clear, so it looks like she's drinking water. Then she screws the back on, and the top back on, and the entire time she's going to work, she's taking sips from that through the straw and getting more and more destroyed as her life has been destroyed.
And then she's at happy hours every day and having her martini, and she's a serious alcoholic. Life is falling apart for her.
Is her drinking, did that cause the marriage breakup?
Well,
we can't answer many questions about this. This is a twisty, turny thriller, whodunit type thing.
It's involved.
Okay. Yes.
And let me just stop for a second and talk about Emily Blunt playing this drunk. When you play a drunk on screen or on stage, you have different levels of drunk you can play, but for amateur actors, playing drunk means you're staggering around and you're slurring your words and you're acting goofy. That's typical
like
how
Foster
people
Brooks.
Play.
Yeah.
Yes.
People play Foster Brooks kind of drunks, and they're just like that. But if you know people who have a drinking problem, you know there are different levels of drunk. There's slightly buzzed after a couple of cocktails. There's acting irresponsibly after too many drinks. There's on the verge of falling down or blacking out after losing track of how many drinks you've had. There's appearing somewhat normal and able to make it through the day while you're totally smashed. And there's seriously alcoholic, and it's apparent to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel is somewhere between number 4 and number 5,
yes.
Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Where she...
So she's not slurring all her words all the time and falling down drunk.
No one around her, and there are very few people around her. She lives with someone, a roommate. She has a roommate.
Played by Laura Prepon.
Yes, who's on screen for 90 seconds.
Yeah.
It's the easiest paycheck of her life.
Yeah.
Because you know that, yeah.
She took time off from Orange is the New Black to go do this.
Yes.
How much time did you need?
Day and a half.
Does she have any lines?
Yeah, she's got a few lines.
Oh, so she got...
She got movie money.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
She wasn't getting no money like you and I as movie extras.
Mm-mm.
She knows that she drinks. Oh. She picks her up at the end of nights when she's had too much to drink, like picks her up off the floor, not goes and drives her,
yeah.
But literally off the floor. Then the story takes a turn when one night Rachel decides on her way home to get off the train and confront Megan.
Well, first she sees Megan,
yes,
on the porch that overlooks the tracks. There. She sees Megan kissing a guy who's not her husband.
Yes. Another
and Rachel's a little bit outraged by this because she imagined a perfect couple.
Yes.
And how can they be a perfect couple if she's kissing some other guy?
And so she's so frustrated with Megan because she knows what she lost with Tom that she says, I'm going to have to go take care of this. So she hops off the train, and this is where the story comes into focus. And by coming into focus, I mean it loses focus because this night is at the crux of the rest. What happened? Because the next day...
You're not saying that the movie loses focus. You're saying...
The story. This is where we sort of get that feeling of being drunk and disoriented because it's unclear what happened. What happened the next day is Rachel wakes up. Emily Blunt's character wakes up at home with blood on her face. She doesn't know how she got there. She's got bruises on her body. And of course, that afternoon or evening driving on the train, she sees someone. She notices Megan's not there. Out on her house, on the balcony outside her house, and she notices someone on their iPad says, woman goes missing, and yeah. It's Megan's picture.
Now, I'm going to stop you right there.
I'm going to stop her. I don't want to explain anything beyond that.
Good.
That is the end.
Because that's not the end. That's the beginning of the actual mystery that's at the heart of this movie.
Yes.
Now, here's the problem I had with it.
Oh, yes.
And you had read the book, so you knew everything that was coming.
Yes.
If you were getting this story in a book... You read the chapter, you read another chapter, you read another chapter, and the story is slowly developing. Also, in a book, you can jump around in time. So this scene is today.
Yes.
Then this scene is 6 months ago. Then
and
the
they
next
can
scene,
say that, and it makes sense in
right,
a book.
And the next scene is last Friday, and then today, this is another scene today, and it jumps around like that. And I will tell you, I was sitting next to my wife... And behind you, you two had both read the book, as
yes.
I think did many people who were in there, so you knew what was coming.
Yes.
I didn't, and in the first 45 minutes, Colin, I was bored.
I was beyond bored.
It was so slow in getting going to the point where we just stopped. Everything we just said was the boring part. After that, it picks up and turns into a real mystery and a kind of, well, I don't want to call it a thriller because it's not quite on that level, but it's a good...
It's a whodunit.
Yes.
It's a whodunit.
Whodunit and what the heck happened?
It's a whodunit, and you have the added benefit of having an unreliable narrator. We're following a drunk. That's who... But at the same time, we also will see scenes from Anna's point of view and Megan's point of view.
Yes.
And then it will be. They'll just say on the screen, oh, it's 6 months ago. That is a horrible way to do a movie.
Yes.
It works very well, again, when I can control the pace. When I read this book, I read for 80 or 90 pages, and I was at the same point we were at the movie where I'm just like... I put the book down for a week. For a page turner, that's not a good sign.
No, when you don't want to turn the page.
When I'm just like, oh my gosh, I am just so over the top, too many timelines and people and...
In the back of your head, you're saying, would you come on already?
So you can have a thriller like Gone Girl last year that's a whodunit. You're trying to figure all this out. But Gone Girl was divided into three acts nicely, and each act had a cliffhanger that was resolved in the very first moment of the second act.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Gone Girl, watch it.
Yeah.
That was nominated for Best Picture last year for a reason. It was very good. This will not get nominations for anything because it is average. It is an average
movie. Well, I disagree. I think it's good because it's saved by its last hour.
Yeah, but I can't, in a two-hour movie, I need it to have a reason to be 2 hours long.
Well, I will tell you, if I were watching this at home on Netflix or on DVD...
Times four speed.
I would never have gotten to the good part of the movie.
You just stopped.
I would have stopped 30 or 40 minutes and go, come on, this thing takes forever.
Yeah.
The movie's not even... it's like 110 minutes, something like that. So it's not a long movie, but the first 40 minutes...
It's 25 minutes too long. It should be a 90-minute movie.
Yeah.
Nothing is added. And if you've read the book and you're curious how faithful they are to the book, I'm just going to tell you without giving anything away, they're faithful to the book.
Except that they transplanted from Britain to the United States.
Yes, but they're faithful to the book other than that.
Can I mention a couple of other people who are in this movie?
Yeah, I want to say that too, is the main men in this, the leading men, Justin Theroux plays Tom, Emily Blunt's ex-husband, Luke Evans is in there, and Edgar Ramirez. Luke Evans and Edgar Ramirez, you will likely not know who their names.
Mm-hmm.
This was such a good job of casting. These guys always play bad guys. Always. Always, always, always play bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
All three of them play bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
What great casting when you have a whodunit and who's done this, that you have three guys that you're looking at and you're like, he looks bad.
He definitely did.
He looks bad.
Oh, wait a minute. He did it. No, hold on a second. Maybe that guy did it.
Yes.
Maybe none of these guys did it.
Excellent job of casting from that respect.
Yeah. Now, I was going to mention actually two other female actors who are in this. One, Allison Janney, who, like Tom Wilkinson, always exactly perfect in whatever role she plays on screen. She's the police detective who's looking into this, who does not think Rachel being drunk is funny at all.
No.
It's actually a major issue for her. The other person is Lisa Kudrow, who is Phoebe on Friends, of course.
Uh-huh.
And she has a small role in this that kind of helps the exposition of the plot so that the audience knows what's going on. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick little story. I read an interview with Emily Blunt, who does a good job as Rachel, and she said that the character that Lisa Kudrow plays was originally named Monica.
Uh-huh.
But then they realized, we can't have a woman from Friends playing a character named Monica. Well, my name is Rachel. Oh, and by the way, one of the guys in this movie, Justin Theroux, is married in real life to Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
The audience is going to freak out if they hear Rachel and Monica and all these people around there. So they changed it to Martha, which, by the way, I think is a beautiful name.
How did Martha like the movie?
Yeah, she did. She walked out of there happy. I walked out of there happy because the last hour paid off. The other thing I want to mention is you got Girl on the Train, you got Gone Girl, you got the girl with the pearl earring, you got the girl with the dragon tattoo, you got the girl with this, the girl with that. I got a wife, I got a daughter. They're both over 21. Don't you dare call them a girl.
Yes. Oh, yeah. How's
that work for you guys at home if you called your wife a girl?
I don't even ever think I've...
I would never try that.
Even use that word.
No, when my daughter was young, girl. Now, not so much.
Yeah.
I'm giving this thing an 8 out of 10 only because the last hour worked so well.
And I'm not as high on it. I agree with you. I give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
But it's going to crush this weekend because... This is a type of movie that if you and your wife or you and your husband are looking to see something, this is what you will go see because it is designed for that. And people have such good images of their mind from Gone Girl if they saw it that they're like, oh, yeah, I will go. This was the next big book after Gone Girl. If you were to go back and look at the timeline of like blockbuster reads, this was almost immediately after Gone Girl.
You know what this also has going for it, which Gone Girl had going for it?
What's that?
Discussion groups from book groups.
Oh, yes.
Because every book group in the world read this book. And at the screening the other night, when we let out, the audience let out, I looked over and I saw at least 6 different groups of 4 or 5 women all standing around and talking about what they had just seen. And I thought to myself, book group, book group, book group, Oprah's book group, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And those women make fun of me when I want to see my comic books turned into movies. That's all I have to say.
We'll take a break and come back with a review of The Birth of the Nation and lots more showbiz stuff here on the Big 550 KTRS.
All right, let's see how traffic's rolling. Here's Tim Weiland.
All right, Dan, crews are working with an accident on westbound Highway 44 near Bowles. It was blocking the left lane. It looks like they may have moved it out of the traffic lane, but we do have some really heavy traffic coming in eastbound on Highway 40, 141 through Highway 270, and then it's jammed pretty solid now between Spady all the way in through Big Bend. Eastbound 270, just the normal slowdown now, McDonald through New Florissant. Heavy on northbound 170 between 70 and Airport Road. Westbound 70, your slow Jennings Station Road, again 270 out through the Blanchette Bridge. And southbound 270, those slow to stop and go pockets from Page all the way down through Tesson Ferry. And this traffic report is brought to you by Staples. Staples has low prices every day on the office items you use most, like ink, paper, coffee, snacks. Plus, they have special deals for more savings on ink and toner. Staples, make more happen. I'm Tim Weiland from the Vincent Mortgage Traffic Center.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage. 314-839-9999. NMLS number 2250-95.
Hello, everybody. It's Jim Hewitt. Don't forget to tune in Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for Sports Sunday. My partner, Brendan Weese, has it all covered for you. He'll talk Mizzou football with Howard Richards. He'll discuss the NFL with Jim Thomas. He'll even give you some fantasy football tips. It's all on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Sports Sunday with Brendan Weese.
Are you one of the millions of Americans suffering from hearing loss? Constantly asking people to speak up? Have a hard time hearing people on the phone? Then this message is for you. For a limited time only, you can try a pair of high-quality digital hearing aids completely free for 45 days. We're so confident you'll be completely satisfied with our hearing aids, you don't get charged a dime for 45 days. All you have to do is call 800-390-1067. These hearing aids will completely change your life. They're designed by top audio engineers for incredible sound quality, so you'll start hearing things you haven't heard in years. And they're so small and lightweight, you can wear them all day long with no one ever noticing them. That's right, they're practically invisible. To start your free 45-day trial, all you have to do is call 800-390-1067. And if you call right now, you'll also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. So call 800-390-1067 now. Do something about your hearing loss today. Call for your 45-day free hearing aid trial now. 800-390-1067. That's 800-390-1067.
Hi, I'm Mark Goldstein, General Manager of Edwards Carpet. You know how we love our holiday sales. Well, this Monday is Columbus Day, and we've got a great sale for you. Now, we're aware of the home centers and non-local companies that promote savings of 70 and 80%, or buy one room, get two rooms free, and that's just ridiculous. We'd never insult your intelligence like that. That's why so often we tell our customers to compare the bottom line, and ours will be lower. For Columbus Day, we have solid color and two-tone barber pole carpet priced under $3 a foot. Higher quality carpets that normally run $6.99 and $7.99 a foot for only $3.99 and $4.99. A foot. And that includes the carpet, premium pad installation, and we remove and haul away your old carpet and move your furniture. And on top of these low prices, we're offering 12 months interest-free financing. And I saved the best for last. For these 4 days, you'll pay no tax. We'll put tax on your bill and then give you a discount for the same amount off. Now that's a legitimate sale, and it ends Monday at 9 p.m. Look for our ad in the Post-Dispatch.
Come on down to Edwards Carpet Stores.
Hi, Frank Blair from Schnars Hardware here, and I would like
Excuse
to talk
me.
To you about...
Excuse me.
Yes?
I just moved into a new house, and I really need to update my door locks and knobs. Can you help me?
We sure can. Here at Schnars Hardware, we have over 200 decorative hardware items on display, ready for you to order.
Awesome.
We order direct from quality companies such as Baldwin, Rocky Mountain Hardware, and MTech. When your order arrives, we may be able to match them to your current key. Do you have one that you would like to use?
Well, I have this one for the back door, the one for the side door, one for the garage, one for the shed, and oh, here they are. These two go to the front door.
Since you are replacing all of your locks, would you like us to key them alike so that you only need one key to open all the doors to your home?
Yes, please. Oh, and you were clearly recording a commercial before I interrupted, so I'll let you get back to that.
Oh, that's okay. So come by Schnars and let us help you eliminate that janitor jingle from your key ring. Schnars Hardware, where we don't charge for the popcorn or the advice. For location, hours, or to shop online, go to schnars.com.
Dan Strauss here to let you know about Peroni's Pizzeria Banquet Center at the Peroni's location on Washington and Florissant. Wedding receptions, rehearsal dinners, business meetings, for any event, large or small, give Peroni's a call. And if you're craving a Peroni's pizza, you can have a pre-made frozen pizza delivered to your door anywhere in the U.S. Go to PeroniesPizza.com.
Hi, I'm Chuck Easter of Easter Fence Decking Renovations. I'm often asked whether we do small jobs. Absolutely. At Easter, it's all about you, our customer and friend. We do everything from small fence gate repair to building a house from the ground up. Our family guarantee is, even if it's the first job Dad did in 1957, if we didn't do it right or didn't do what we said, we'll fix it for free. Call 314-892-8500 or easterfence.com.
Easter Fence Deck and Renovations, your good neighbor since 1957.
Who's there?
Fallen off.
Fallen off who?
Fallen off pain patch.
What?
Don't be fooled by the knock-knocks. Get the relief you deserve with Blue Emu's Lidocare Pain Relief Patches. Our narcotic-free, maximum-strength adhesion formula with dry technology won't have you worrying about a corny knock-knock joke anymore. Because pain is no joke. Find us at CVS, Walgreens, and Amazon.
The Financial Symphony is a show that blends the worlds of music and finance together in one harmonious package. It features your local financial maestro, Jerry Means.
A lot of advisors out there are mainly giving accumulation advice or looking at the growth through your working years. You really need to take a look at, is your advisor giving you advice on preservation and distribution?
That's the Financial Symphony with Jerry Means every Sunday morning at 10 on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's a Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This is the hour each week that we devote to showbiz stuff. Before I get to my review of Birth of a Nation, what did you think of Alec Baldwin as Trump opposite Kate McKinnon as Hillary on Saturday Night Live last weekend?
So I was not one of the people that contributed to the record ratings. I watched it after the fact. He does a fine Trump. She does a fine Hillary. I still think the definitive versions have been done before them. I thought the biggest issue was writing. The first debate wasn't really funny. Like, from a perspective of being like a member of America, to see these two people, and it wasn't a funny debate. And for them to essentially, yeah, there were some laughs in there. I just think they need to figure out how to write funny sketches involving these voices. And I think the funniest sketch they did with Trump actually might have been when he hosted that. You may remember last year, I guess it was earlier, late in the season, he actually did a sketch in which it said Trump wins a presidency and everything has gone exactly as he said it would, and we're 4 years into a Trump presidency, and it's him just sitting there. He's like, we've got the wall. But it was just him like saying, we did all these things, and you saw like, oh wow, if a president actually did everything they said they were going to do, it'd be pretty ridiculous. That was a funny sketch because it put it like, it's like the chief economic advisor comes out and they're like, people are turning down jobs, and it's like people are coming, like, the Americans keep saying, President Trump, please stop winning, stop winning. He's like, no, I'm going to keep. And it's like, that was funny writing. This, I thought, was just like, eh. And I still think Daryl Hammond does a better Trump.
That was my biggest problem with it. As I pointed out last week, there's no reason to bring in Alec Baldwin to do it.
No.
Daryl Hammond is already on your staff. He's already the announcer on the show. And by the way, in the next sketch, played Bill Clinton.
Yes.
And by the way, brilliant, as he always
Which
was.
Which we thought he would. I'm like, they have to still use him for something.
And for anybody who's saying, well, you can't have Daryl Hammond playing Trump and Clinton, wait a second. You had Kate McKinnon playing Hillary and then playing Kellyanne Conway, who's Trump's chief advisor or campaign manager or whatever.
One of his two, I guess.
Yeah. So I thought it was okay, but I'm just too much in Daryl Hammond's tank, I guess.
But yeah, it's still why I look at it and I'm like, Amy Poehler's the best Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
And it's not that Kate McKinnon does a bad one. It's just Amy Poehler was the best.
While I'm asking, what did you think? Did you watch Westworld on Sunday on HBO?
It's sitting on my DVR. I'm very much looking forward to it. Did you watch it?
Yes, I did. I won't spoil it for you.
Okay.
We'll talk about it after you've seen a few episodes. Okay. The next movie to review is called The Birth of a Nation. The story of a slave rebellion led by a slave named Nat Turner in 1831. This story has never been told on screen before. And Nate Parker, who plays Nat Turner, has never directed a feature film before. And yet he stars in this one. He directed it. He wrote it. He produced it. The fact that it's never been done before and that he's never done one before does not get in the way of one hell of a movie. Birth of a Nation takes place in pre-Civil War Virginia, 3 decades before the Civil War. Nat grows up as a slave, picking cotton in the fields, owned by a white man named Samuel Turner. Along the way, he learns to read, but only the Bible, because as Samuel Turner's mother tells him, all the rest of the books are for white people. You go study this. And so he does, and he becomes a preacher to his fellow slaves. Then as the white plantation owner's plantation falls on hard times, at Samuel, he loans Nat out to other slave owners to go to their plantations and preach lessons to the slaves about obedience, to do what they're told, to not revolt. Nat has no choice to go but to go along with this, but he has some severe revulsion at some of what he encounters, and some of what is portrayed on the screen is absolutely, look away from the screen, brutal. I'm just going to warn you. Nat's discontent grows until he and some other slaves decide to fight back at their white oppressors in a bloody rebellion. For a rookie, Parker proves himself to be a remarkably talented director. The scenery in this movie is absolutely beautiful. Even the absolutely ugly parts are really well made. There is one other look away from the screen moment that people didn't look away. And that is when Parker's wife is gang raped by some slave hunters. The head of which is played by Jackie Earle Haley. Hard to believe that was the kid from Bad News Bears 30 or 40 years ago. Here he is appearing in this movie. And the scene of the aftermath of that on this young woman elicited the loudest audible gasp I've heard collectively from an audience in all the years I've been going to a movie. I'm not talking about the horror you had when the shark jumped out of the water at Roy Scheider in Jaws or other things that made you go, ah! I'm talking about everybody going, ah! In horror at what they see has happened to this young woman.
Now, did you see 12 Years a Slave?
I did.
How does this sort of imagery compare to what's...
Very similar to the brutality that you see in that, that was a part of slavery. As a director, Nate Parker is less interested in the rebellion at the end and more interested in the instigation for it. So you don't see as much of the bloodshed of the uprising throughout the movie. It takes up just the last little bit of the movie. Instead, you see more of the treatment that the slaves had to endure and the indignities that were visited upon them. And that's what makes Birth of a Nation so valuable to me. We see the process. We see the inhumanity of the lives these humans in bondage were forced to endure. And Parker tells the story very well. The supporting cast includes Armie Hammer, and people you may not have heard of, named Coleman Domingo and Ingenue Ellis. Asia Naomi King plays Nate Parker's wife named Cherry. Penelope Ann Miller's in there. I mentioned Jackie Earle Haley. And Parker himself plays Nat Turner, and he's very good in the role. The title of this movie, he kind of co-opted from a 1950 piece of racist KKK propaganda, a movie made by D.W. Griffith. And he co-opted it to try to align it with a different tale, rather than the racists, the oppressed. Neither of the movies is really about the birth of America. You want to see a movie about the birth of America, go rent the musical 1776. That's about the birth of America. But the things that happen in both movies mark ugly signposts in our history. And this one is very, very well done. I'm giving it an 8.5. 8.5 out of 10, The Birth of the Nation.
Now, the original Birth of a Nation, it had a different title originally, and then they changed it. It was called The Klansman, but they figured that wouldn't play well everywhere.
But that's what it was about.
Yes, and then in 1915, it was screened at the White House.
Yep.
Screened at the White House. Woodrow Wilson went and watched the movie at the White House.
And called it one of our most important movies ever.
I could not imagine the backlash if this movie was screened at the White House today. Now, does it feel...
Now, this movie, The Birth of a Nation...
Well, that's what's happening.
Oh. Nate Parker?
Yeah, I think there would be...
I can guarantee you that Obama will see this movie.
Yes, but I don't think it will be publicly screened the way it was at the White House, in the same way. Like, it won't be a big to-do about inviting people to see a... Maybe. They didn't have a movie theater in the White House. They had to watch it publicly.
Okay.
And Woodrow Wilson say. Okay. Does this feel preachy? I that sounds bad to ask, but I know that there's... So earlier this year, we had Race come out. That was a story of Jesse Owens.
Yeah, didn't see it.
We had the Free State of Jones come out. That was about another rebellion, but it was Matthew McConaughey.
Didn't see it.
Those movies that like tackled race relations and slavery this year didn't do well at the box office. There didn't seem to be much of an appetite for them.
Yeah.
And I think it's because we had other movies, 12 Years a Slave, or some others that to some people felt preachy. In a way, did you come out feeling?
Well, I didn't think 12 Years a Slave was preaching.
No, I know you didn't.
I thought it was very, very good, and I think this is the same.
Same. Okay.
I think this is a movie that when you see it, you're going to be hopefully outraged by the things that are part of our history. This is the part of the history of our country. This isn't fiction. This is something that really happened back in the 1830s and long before that, and for decades after that as well. And there are people who are downplaying this movie because of a controversy involving Nate Parker that I'm not even going to go into because I'm only going to review this movie.
Yes.
And I think this is one terrific movie. And so I recommend it.
Yes, we will revisit the conversation about Nate Parker around award season. How does that sound? Because I think it's fair. I think it's fair to talk about it.
Yep.
Because it is important to know that. But I agree with you that this is a review of the movie.
Okay. So. Either last week or the week before, we reviewed Deepwater Horizon.
Yes.
With Mark Wahlberg, directed by Peter Berg. You don't like Peter Berg movies.
No.
I liked him because of Friday Night Lights, the movie, and the TV series, which was even better.
Which were great, yes.
You know what his next movie is, which is coming out in just a couple of months?
Yeah, it's called Patriots Day.
Starring Mark Wahlberg.
About the Boston Marathon bombing.
Yes.
They released the first trailer this week.
Yeah. Now, I don't watch trailers. My wife actually sent me a trailer for the new season of Black Mirror on Netflix, which is coming out in a couple of weeks, and I'm looking forward to it because I love the first two seasons that were made in England. I'm looking forward to the Netflix version of it when it comes out. She sent me a link to the trailer. I don't watch trailers because when I go in to see a movie, I don't want any spoilers ahead of time. I don't want to know, oh, I'm looking forward to this scene. I just want to be able to see the movie, which is why we try not to give too much away here.
Yes.
In our reviews on the air. We tell you what the movie's about, but we don't go into what is going to happen that could spoil the movie for you. I am personally not watching the trailer for Patriots Day, but I did look up to see who's in it besides Mark Wahlberg. It's got quite a cast.
Yes.
Melissa Benoist, who is now TV's Supergirl. Michelle Monaghan, J.K. Simmons, one of those actors, again, impossible to give a bad performance. Kevin Bacon, John Goodman, it's coming out in January. Now, is it possible that Deepwater Horizon was held for a while, that it wasn't released? Because why would these movies be released so close together?
That's a great question. I honestly have, I don't have an answer for that. Other than, I don't think that, if I had to guess, I'd say Patriots Day, because of the cast you said, it probably filmed pretty quickly, and Deepwater Horizon probably took a long time to film.
Because of the effects.
Because of the fact they had to build a rig.
Yeah.
Like, it took a little while. I don't know. That's a great question, but it's odd to see them collaborating. I'd have to go back and look to see an actor and director collaborating on movies this close to one another, because... this is rare. I mean, we all know John Goodman is in, like, every Coen Brothers movie.
Well, Adam McKay and Will Ferrell.
Well, yeah. Yes.
All right, one other thing I want to mention. Did we talk about Ocean's 8?
We mentioned it back when they announced that it was happening. Another all-female reboot.
Right. They've announced the cast. Sandra Bullock, Cate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Rihanna.
Yep.
Helena Bonham Carter, Nora Lum, a.k.a. the rapper Awkwafina.
Yes.
Frank has all her albums. Mindy Kaling and Sarah Paulson.
Yes. I'm going to say I can't stand Mindy Kaling in anything.
Okay.
She killed scenes in The Office for me.
Okay. That's a pretty impressive cast, though.
It is.
And it's directed
Especially Awkwafina.
Yeah. She's hard to get.
Yeah.
You don't just call up an agent and book Awkwafina.
Nope.
Wonder how long she'd appear on the show for.
Yeah.
Going to be directed by the guy who did the Hunger Games movies, Gary Ross. Coming out, by the way, they're announcing it now. What, it's October 2016. So if they're doing this, they're telling you, well, they're about to make the movie. It'll be out sometime next summer. Nope. June 2018.
Hey, got to get that hype machine going. Got to get it going.
So circle it on your calendar, kids. 20 months from now, you'll get to not go to Ocean's 8, starring all those actresses. And that's our showbiz stuff for this week here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
Let's get a check on traffic right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
Well, I tell you, on Telegraph, southbound Telegraph, you are jammed up pretty solid. I think it's because of the way the lights are configured, but it's jammed from Highway 255 through Yeager, a little bit slow up through Baumgartner. On southbound 170, they had cleared that earlier accident at the Parkway. Your stop and go from Olive down through Highway 40. Eastbound 40, you're heavy from Vandeventer to the Poplar Street Bridge. Northbound 55, backed up onto the ramp of Highway 44. Slow to stop and go now on southbound 270. Goes Page through Tesson Ferry. We have westbound 40 drivers. I'll tell you, you've got so many slow and stop-and-go pockets that start from about Vandeventer, and they go all the way out through Highway 70. Now, it's not one solid jam, but it's just going to remain stop-and-go. And then out in O'Fallon area, you're slow from Mid-Rivers Mall Drive out through about Bryan Road on westbound Highway 70. And this traffic report brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Taking your child's temperature shouldn't be as stressful as fighting through traffic. With the Exergen Temporal Scanner, one gentle forehead scan is all it takes. Pick one up at your local club warehouse or other fine retailers. I'm Tim Weiland from the Vincent Mortgage Traffic Center.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage. 314-839-9999. NMLS number 225095.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 1-800-652-4136. That's 1-800-652-4136. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 1-800-652-4136. 1-800-652-4136. That's 1-800-652-4136. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
This is the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis.
Live and local.
Depend on it.